You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Lindsay Macarella, and she's here joined by some of her students. And they were here, if you remember, last semester talking a little bit about an early music ensemble and concert, and we were treated to some of the various instruments, and there's some incredible musicians here, but also some very interesting looking instruments that we're going to have them tell us about. So, Dr. Macarella, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Oh, thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about the ensemble.
So this is an ensemble composed almost entirely of current music students at UTEP, both undergraduates and graduate students. And all of these students major in modern instruments primarily. So they play like the cello or the flute or the bassoon, what have you. And they've made an effort to learn sort of a historic version of their instrument, be it wind or string, so that they can play chamber music from the Renaissance and Baroque eras.
And so tell us a little bit about the music itself. Was it difficult to find music specifically for these instruments and also the instruments?
Well, it's kind of interesting. As far as composers selecting instruments for their compositions in the Renaissance in particular, actually, I would probably estimate like 80 to 90% of all the music written in the Renaissance was for singers, because that was the most prevalent instrument of all. Like, everybody has one. It's really hard to damage. But it would have been common at the time for people to pick up vocal music and just start playing it with any instruments they had lying around. And composers knew that they would do that. So even when they write music that they say is specifically for instruments, they never say which instruments you're supposed to play it for, which is actually kind of good for us, because we could say, oh, we have four recorders, and this is a four-part piece. Let's play it. So there's just a huge amount of repertoire out there that's open to us. And something we're trying to do that's new and unique for this concert, actually, is that we're having it off campus. We're actually having it in a bar in the Speakeasy, which is in downtown El Paso. And it sounds a little strange to have a classical music concert in a bar, but there's a reason behind it. So this idea of a concert attitude that people have towards classical music, where you go into the concert hall, everybody dresses in black, you're very quiet, everybody stares at the stage the whole time. This is actually a really new attitude that only came about within the last 200 years or so. A really long time ago, actually, when during the Renaissance and the Baroque eras, people were not as formal towards these concerts. They would talk, they would walk around, they would eat, they would come in and out, and it was just a more relaxing atmosphere without all of this separation between the stage and the performers. I'm not saying this is necessarily bar music, but it does have, we're trying to go for this sort of informal atmosphere by changing the concert locale that people might have had back then. So we're encouraging people to come and relax and just hang out and listen to music. And I think that that is a really healthy way to approach classical music.
So I'm thinking there are cities across the nation now who have Renaissance fairs. So that is kind of the atmosphere we're looking at, because musicians are, you know, wandering around or just playing open air.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot in Renaissance fairs in the United States, where people, music is just supposed to be coming from different corners, and you're just supposed to hear it as you sort of walk by. And that's certainly a similar attitude to something that I'm trying to get to. What we really hope for is something like a jazz concert today, you know, where everybody's very relaxed about jazz concerts taking place outside of concert halls. And why can't that happen for classical music, too? Why is it only for popular music? You know, so it's just sort of a change of attitude of how we approach this style of music that I think is a lot more fun.
And joining us this morning, Nathan Black. And Nathan was also one of our guest musicians when we were here last semester. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. And if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about how you got involved in the ensemble and what you're planning to do.
Well, several years ago, the Department of Music traveled to a country called Bhutan, where we basically played an opera by Handel in Baroque style. We all had some Baroque training before that with some guests from Rome, and I absolutely loved it. It was a life-changing experience for me. And when I heard we were getting a professor who was interested in starting an early music program, I jumped in immediately. Things are kind of reversed, in my opinion, for early music. Expression is done very differently from what we do today with modern instruments. And it's just a very cool experience to go back and mess around with that a little bit and learned how it was done many, many years before we do it now. It's a very humbling experience. And of course, you learn from every little thing you do like this.
So have you learned how to play this instrument with a turkey leg on the other one?
Or
do you use the turkey leg as a bow?
It's kind of the grandfather to the cello. A lot of people may think it looks very similar, and it does look very similar. There's more strings. It's a fretted instrument, unlike the cello, which is kind of free intonation, unfixed. But still, that doesn't take away all the challenges. The frets don't always behave. The strings are made of gut, so they go out of tune quite often. And tuning the instruments, in my opinion, is the most difficult thing. It takes several minutes, and even that, you may go out of tune right away when you start rehearsing. It's funny how it works, but then again, it's a totally different animal, and it's very gratifying when you get it right.
One of the other instruments that we have as well here is, I'm not sure if this is a recorder or what it is, Flora, but if you wouldn't mind letting us know what this is about.
Well, I'd love to tell you about it. This is the cornetto. The cornetto is a Renaissance instrument that's kind of an ancestor of the trumpet. Since y'all can't see it, I'll describe it a little bit. It's kind of about as long as a clarinet. It's curved and horn-shaped, almost like a tusk. It has a tiny little mouthpiece on the top, like a trumpet mouthpiece, but smaller. We call it an acorn cup mouthpiece. And then it has holes like a recorder. So it's a real hybrid between the woodwinds and the brass. It's got characteristics of both. And it was an instrument of the Renaissance, especially the late Renaissance and early Baroque. It was very, very popular.
And so to make this make a sound, do you have to have like an embouchure, like if you're playing a flute where you kind of blow the air above it, or how does it go?
No, actually, it's more like a trumpet embouchure. It's like a brass embouchure, slightly more relaxed because the cup is so small, but more like a trumpet embouchure.
Lindsay, this time, as we mentioned before the interview, we're going to do a little bit less talking so that we can have an opportunity to listen to your musicians play. And before I carry on with everything else, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about, because as Flora mentioned, it's radio. We are going to have pictures online, but still, if you wouldn't mind introducing us to the rest of the group and talk about their instruments.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so on recorder, we're going to have Miriam Acosta and Caitlin Collette, Andrea Aguirre, Ricky Villardell, and they're going to be playing all different sizes of recorders. So recorders come in the exact same instrument, but just different lengths, actually to replace the main voice types. So we have soprano, alto, tenor, and bass recorders, just like you have those type of singers, right? So we're going to hear a recorder quartet. We're going to hear a duet between the cornetto and the singer. The cornetto player, as we just heard, was Flora Newberry. The singer is Jamile Brewster. You're a soprano, right? She's a soprano singer. Then we're also going to hear a little bit of a Baroque trio, just one movement from it. So that's two recorders playing together, Caitlin Collette and Miriam Acosta, and Nathan's going to be accompanying them on the viola da gamba.
And so this is going to be a very interesting experience also for people who are perhaps walking in the downtown area. They hear the music, get drawn into it, and have a few drinks, and then it's very good to speak easy.
Right, I guess. That's totally part of my idea. I know that a lot of people don't often come out to college campuses, and I noticed that the vast majority of the people that come to our concerts tend to be related in some way to the performers. But I really want to reach people who have, like, it never would occur to them to go to an early music concert, right? I just happen to be sitting here at a bar, and oh my gosh, there's an early music concert going on. And, you know, it's sort of an exciting learning experience. But once again, just to give the address, it's at the Speakeasy downtown, which is at 303 East Franklin Street. And it's actually an underground bar, like literally underground, underneath the pizza joint, which has really good pizza.
Okay. So I'll turn them loose. Thank you. But again, I want to thank Dr. Lindsay Macarella for joining us with members of the Ehrlich Music Ensemble. And the concert, again, is going to be on Friday, March 31st at the Speakeasy. That's downtown El Paso, 303 East Franklin Avenue. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Daniel Paulus. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.